Yo, what up? It's Devin from the Weekly Pools here. Covers for Derek.
You sound like Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm covering for Derek this morning. He told me it was my turn to do the intro. Everybody else has done it. So we've got Derek here.
Hey, guys. It's your boy.
And we got Ricky.
Good morning.
Good morning. And then we got Megan Huang, creator of Rangers of the Divide, with us today.
Hey.
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 You know what? I think I did better than Derek. I think we should just let me do it all the time.
Oh, it's my podcast, and I'll cry if I want to.
Just make Tevin do it now. You should make him eat them words.
No, thanks. We don't edit anything, so we can't go back and cut that.
I mean, me and Tevin are in the same house. So I can totally just, like, mollywop his ass if I want.
That would be really funny for me to hear.
For you to hear. He just smacked me in the back of the head. Don't encourage him because he'll do it. I'm looking at him right now.
I'm off the rails.
It's funny because Derek, I know like you're like more into basketball, but you just mentality wise, you just strike me as a wrestler. Just a guy who'll just show up and smack people or do something weird.
He is a bit of both.
Does he walk around the house?
I would literally drop kick you for a fucking grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, that seems very extreme. I mean.
Extreme.
Well, yeah, he used to watch WWE and
I meant more like high school or collegiate wrestling, you know, with the little spandex singlet.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think we'd see him in a... Aren't those leotards? What are they?
They're called singlets. Oh, my gosh. Singlet. Leotards are for dance. They're basically the same thing.
It's the same thing. I really just want to wear the earmuffs.
The earmuffs.
The earmuffs do look pretty sweet.
I think they're called
It's like they
ear
just got
protection
back from a gun range. And
for headgear.
Yeah. Well, for what? Is there Mike Tyson out there trying to bite your ear?
No, it's to keep... On? Well, you get cauliflower ear if you're not protected because there's arms and stuff rubbing across your, you know, you're getting hit. It's not punching, but it's, like, aggressive, so... Contact.
So you don't get MRSA on your ear, duh.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know that. So I learned something new today. So we're gonna hop in here. Megan, when did you start writing Rangers of the Divide? Because I picked this up at the store and I was instantly in.
I think I started to write it, oh man, like 2 years ago. And I think the writing process definitely took a while, and I didn't show the publisher until I did a few like drafts just to make sure everything was not crappy, you know. And it was my first kind of like big solo thing for Dark Horse, and I wanted it to be at least kind of presentable, you know, like.
So what you're saying is you've taken way more time with this comic than we do with this podcast. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, basically.
Way more prepared, I would say.
I didn't study. So Megan, when did you start writing? When was like the first time you're like, I'm gonna write a sweet ass comic?
Like other than Rangers?
Yeah, like the beginning.
Oh man.
Origin story.
Was there a spider bite?
It's like maybe back in high school, like near the end of high school, probably. I thought I was like good enough, and I definitely had a lot to learn. Oh god, this is so embarrassing, but I like sent pitches into like Images, like cold submit kind of email, and my stuff didn't get picked up. I think that's about around the time I started to write comic scripts. I wrote like in middle school though, like novel kind of stuff.
Nice.
But that didn't get picked up either. It was something for me to do that was productive and constructive and not like just playing video games like my brothers. And look how
there you go.
I mean, I'm impressed you like totally shot your shot in high school. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I feel like most people don't really get the don't get committed enough to get over like the nervousness or the uncomfortable or the likelihood of getting rejected until they're well into their 20s at least, if not later. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you. I went to like art school almost like since high school. So I went to a school here around where I live, called Cawthron, and I was like visual arts major, and I just kind of was used to being judged, I guess, because the teachers would always like pull us aside and like give us critiques or whatever. And the teachers weren't very like, they didn't like phrase things the nicest, you know? So I was definitely used to kind of rejection and, you know, showing my work and just kind of doing my best on a thing and, you know, saying, well, screw it. I did my best. So, yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I blame art teachers and collegiate art people for World War II. You know, Hitler tried to get in and, you know, thank you for taking it in stride. And you made it. So,
yeah.
You got an awesome book here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and you know, I have a question because it kind of segues in a little bit. Looking into your portfolio, you've got a lot of art background. So, do you consider yourself an artist first, or are you a writer first? Because did you start drawing before you started writing stories, or you know, how did you begin that?
Yeah, I started to draw before I started to write. I think drawing has always been like almost therapeutic for me, and also again kept me out of trouble just sitting there drawing day in day out. Yeah, so it was only like later on, like I think in middle school-ish, that I started to like write things, and like to this day I think I would still consider myself to be more of an artist than a writer. Just because of, you know, the projects I've taken on, like, that you can see in my portfolio are mostly, I'm the artist on a thing versus, this is, like, just my first writing gig on Rangers. So, yeah, it's more so an artist, yeah.
And, I mean, you are, you know, the artist and the writer for this book, and you're tackling this thing by yourself. Is there anyone behind the lines you want to shout out? That's, you know, is there anybody doing the wording, or is the wording all you two? I mean, are you really tackling this bull by the horns yourself?
The lettering is me too. So basically everything except for the design work and editing is like design, as in like, you know, the cover logo. I didn't design that. I wish I did because it's so good, but it wasn't
right.
Yeah,
so you're basically a Swiss Army knife.
For most of it, yeah, for most of it.
Heck yeah. Like Daniel Warren Johnson up in here just doing everything.
Retweet.
That's thanks. Awesome,
thank you.
That's always sorry.
No, you go ahead, Ricky. You're on a roll.
Whatever, man. Something that always appeals to me is like a great team book, right? When everybody, not a book about a team, but a book made by a team, when everybody's got their pieces they contribute and it just gels, there's something really awesome about that. But then also, other side of the coin, when there's somebody who's got all the tools and is doing it by themselves, I think that's such a really cool thing too. So always something that appeals to me.
Yeah. And I've seen both sides of the you know, coin there. And I think who's done something all by themselves?
Frank Miller, Daniel Warren Johnson are the two that I always think of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the two that I go to as well.
I think
Megan Huang. You know, I go to Megan Huang when I think of that.
Boom. She goes on the Mount Rushmore.
That's right.
I think Sedgwick. Is that how you say it? Sedgwick. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I think he's.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, he's done stuff for DC, like on Harley Quinn, kind of.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about him. Yeah. That's another one too. Is that the new Harley Quinn issue or is that the older one?
I think it's called Harleen. It's just Harleen.
Okay. Yeah. I know I've seen those, but I don't think I've ever picked those up. I'm less of a DC guy. I haven't jumped into DC as much. So. Well, I have a big question for you here because I ran through your portfolio and then I saw your creation of your main character. And before I went through your portfolio, I was looking at the commander, and he's got a resemblance to somebody that I hold near and dear to my heart. I love this dude. Have you ever played The Witcher, or did you watch the show? Or
it does look like that.
Yeah.
Is there a little bit of inspiration there?
No, actually. No. I have played The Witcher. I have watched the show. I love it. I love both. And I've, you know, rewatched the show and replayed the game and played all the DLCs, but only after I made the character. I don't know. I just felt like doing his design that way. And then yeah. After I kind of, you know, spent time with Geralt, yeah. I was like, oh, people are going to think it's based on Geralt.
Right.
I was like, that's not a horrible thing.
No.
But I didn't want it to be him to be like too similar, of course. But yeah.
Right.
See, I got I didn't play The Witcher. I watched the trailer and I like Henry Cavill, but I didn't get any further than that. I thought of Legolas, but more aggressive.
Ooh.
So yeah.
It's the hair. It's just the hair. I'm like, oh,
it is.
He's looking like Orlando Bloom, but he's kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of leaned more towards that. I think Legolas was definitely more of an inspiration, but I don't even remember if there was an inspiration. It was a while ago, and I just didn't bother to keep track. But oh, I Geralt.
You've kept these concepts in your back pocket for a while.
Yeah.
About how long ago do you think you came up with, not all of them, but some of the concepts, but how long ago do you think?
Maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. Oh. Yeah. And they started as like crappy doodles in my sketchbook. And then when I used to scan things in, I scanned it in and I, you know, drew digitally over them and stuff. And I went through some iterations, of course, to get to where it is now. Nice. But yeah, it was a while ago.
How long did it take for you to get out and pitch it to somebody or have them reach out to you? I don't know how that went down for you, but about how long did it take for that to happen?
It didn't take too long once I kind of felt comfortable with Dark Horse, because I had done a book for them just before I pitched it, and I was getting the sense that the editors liked me. So
nice.
I was like, okay, better get this pitch done for when I'm off of this book. And so then, I mean, that's what I did, and I presented it to them, and Judy Koo, my editor, really pushed it to get into Dark Horse, and she was really, you know, supportive the whole time. And yeah, like it got in like pretty quick too. I just showed it to one publisher, which is them, because I'm loyal, you know.
Nice.
Right.
I'm not a traitor. yeah, it's been doing pretty well there. Everyone, like, at all different editors have said they liked it, and then some of them have reached out to do more with me potentially.
Cool.
That's awesome. I'm glad this opened the door.
Yeah, we need more Megan.
Yeah, we do basically. Yeah.
And, what was that other book that you were working for Dark Horse before this?
It was Gia and the Neon Monster. It was a children's graphic novel.
Nice.
So, you know, it's based on the Chinese legend. So
very cool.
Yeah. It was a fun one to do as well.
I'm gonna have to check that out. I have the children, so I need to provide them reading material of quality.
Yeah, that's a bunch.
And Megan we trust.
Hmm?
In Megan we trust.
Yes.
We kind of just let Derek pop in every once in a while and say a couple of words, and then he goes back into his hole. So just take what he says with a grain of salt.
Pat him on the head. Say, good job.
Somebody's got to do it.
That yeah. Megan saying that will be the highlight of this podcast for sure. That made my whole morning. Good job, Derek. We'll put it right on the refrigerator.
That's what it is.
Give me a fucking gold star, dude.
Derek is just macaroni art. That's all he is. Oh my God.
Give me some Elmer's glue and I can change the world.
Oh my gosh. So I gotta ask, Megan, since you're doing, you know, you're doing all this art, I got certain vibes I picked up. Did you watch Avatar The Last Airbender? Not the movie, the animated show.
I watched the movie. I watched episodes here and there when I, you know, used to be on TV, not Netflix. Yeah. Right. And
old Nickelodeon.
Everyone was like, oh, it's so good. I'm just kind of stubborn, so I was like, no, I'm not gonna watch it.
I did the same thing.
Oh, you go against the grind. I see.
I had issues when I was in high school, and I was a little bit older than the crowd that was watching The Last Airbender at the time. My younger brother was obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Ethan, though he will never hear this, but anyway, I thought that the art style in the book had a lot of similarities in a good way.
Yeah.
Just to kind of that almost like that anime comic kind of meeting together. And I don't know how to, I know I'm going to offend like anime fans who are going to tell me that what I'm saying is stupid, but whatever. I just thought that it had kind of that energy and wanted to know do you have intentions? Like when you're designing this, did you intentionally make it with thoughts of a TV series down the road or something like that?
I mean, that's always a hope, but I definitely just wanted to make it like the best it could be as it is, because I don't know, people are like, oh, creator owned stuff doesn't sell well, so just prepare yourself. And yeah, and like a lot of them don't get made into TV shows.
Yeah. But
I can see the potential for sure.
That's how I felt it read. Yeah. Like it read like a show, animated or live action or whatever.
I agree.
It felt, as I was reading it, hey, you know, this is a series that I would watch, or a movie that I would watch, depending on how many issues you go. It just seemed like it read very fluidly like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tevin's like your biggest fan, dude.
I did. I picked this up, and then I was trying to share it with everybody. I mean, I remember when I first got the book, you know, I tweeted at you, and then, you know, it's always an awesome feeling when you have a creator like interact back with you. And so, you know, I want to say thank you for that, for actually like liking my tweet. Like even liking a tweet is enough to really be like, there's some validation there, you know, and that was awesome. And then for you to agree to come on was just the icing on the cake. And I really, you know, I really appreciate it.
I like cake.
An artist does that. So, you know, thank you for interacting with the community.
Aw. Yeah, I would definitely try to, because I've had like, you know, creators not interact with me in the past as a fan, and it's just like, I don't know, I can get a little bit salty. I'm like, so I definitely, as a fan, you know, get that. And I really appreciate those kind words, though. It was like really, it was really nice. I'm sitting here, I'm blushing. Like,
we got manners on this show.
Yeah. Tevin says the nicest words.
Sometimes.
He got an award for it.
A gold star?
I don't know. I'm going to submit him to.
Hey, those are mine.
I'm going to submit him to Comic Burrito to see if they'll give him a Golden Burrito Award for his kind words. That's what I'm going to do.
That's amazing. Thank you. You're a real one.
He gets what? A whole ass burrito and all I get is fucking stars.
Hey, listen, everybody, you have task for talent. We all have different things.
Man.
Anyway.
I feel cheated.
So, Megan, I want to ask if you can reveal this. It might be coming, I assume, later on. Yeah. But what are these tail things, like, that they have on them? They're obviously, I think they called them extensions or something at one point. They're clearly a weapon of some sort. But is this something that they come with as part of their, their military service that they're doing? Is like, I just think of, like, Starship Troopers. Hey, you're here. You have all this crap now. Is it like something they were equipped with upon joining the Rangers, or is it some other thing? Can you even
say? Are they born with it? Or? I don't think they're born with it because they attach it in their the camp.
Yeah, it looked like it's a separate attachment thing. But anyway, I just want to know, Megan, if you had anything you could share on that, or
no,
I'm gonna call it a keychain.
Basically, it's a separate attachment, and only the Rangers have it. In this arc, there's no other people other than the core group. So I can see, like, why it, like, might come off as, like, everyone in the world might have it. But, yeah, it's definitely only for the Rangers. And, yeah, it's connected to them by a neural link. And they can take off the tail, like, detach it to... Because I figured it would be uncomfortable, like, sleep with it on, especially if you sleep on your back.
Right.
Yeah, some back sleepers out there.
So it's definitely detachable.
Nice. That's. I was kind of getting the vibes, like, because, like you said, you're only covering this main cast right now. So I was like, okay, it's not something everybody has. But what if I'm wrong? I should ask because, I don't know, but it's a freaking cool weapon.
That's right. And only the Rangers, are they the only ones who can, like, connect with, like, the dragon? Or is that everybody? You know, what's going on with them as well? Because I kind of get, like, I don't, not Avatar, the anime show, but, like, when I first saw the tales, I was like, oh, this is going to be how they communicate with their partner and all of that. And it seems like there's more to it. So how does, you can answer Ricky, and then, you know, if you want to jump into that one. How do
That's
they,
an like, all-encompassing thing.
It is.
They, you know, communicate just verbally with your dragons. I mean, the dragons can't talk, but the dragons understand. It's kind of like
when
you tell your dog to sit, you know?
I definitely had that. Like, that was pretty, I felt like pretty clearly laid out really well.
Yeah. But yeah, they're paired up with their dragons. I don't go too much into it in this first arc, and I'm still planning it out, but basically... My thoughts are, like, that they're orphans that are kind of brought in. They're basically, like, Mandalorians, almost, like, the foundlings.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, like, they get brought in and paired up and trained.
That's cool. Yeah, I definitely got, same like what Tevin was saying, not to cover all the Avatar options out here.
But we're gonna get
more specifically towards the grown-up Pocahontas Avatar.
Yeah.
That I saw the tails of the dragons. I was like, oh, I swear, if that tail plugs into this thing, and then didn't, and then it was totally awesome because he like sliced that Wendigo. He like sliced it with his. I was like, ah, oh, cool.
Yeah, you did. He sliced it. It died.
it died for sure.
But there was, you know, inspiration from. Avatar, like James Cameron's Avatar.
Yeah,
right.
Which is appropriate. I mean, anything really, like everything we enjoy, and even some of the stuff we don't enjoy, influences what we're doing in general, right?
So, that's right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, especially when it's something awesome like that, you know?
Right, right. Oh my gosh, quick little aside. My wife and I, we went to Disney for our 12th anniversary. And, we weren't planning to because we have a mess of children. So going there without them is like a really bad thing. People get all upset.
Right.
But so we were supposed to go to Canada. COVID said no. So we went, there's a bunch of precautions at Disney and they had like 30% capacity. So there's like no lines and no people. And it was really cool. We did that Flights of Passage Avatar ride. It was amazing. And that's the whole story.
Yeah.
Like something a nerd would do.
You know, it was so cool.
I did it.
You did it too.
Not when you said that there was nobody there, though, like, I got really jealous because I went just before the pandemic struck.
Yeah.
3 hour waits for some.
Yeah, that's my wife took my daughter. So we're like splitting. I have 5 kids, so we're splitting them up. And we're just budgeting over many years. And
right.
So her and my daughter took a trip, girls trip. And then the two of us are going to take 2 boys at a time for the next multiple years. And she told me when she went on Flights of Passage the first time, it was like a 2 hour wait or something. And when we did it, it was 15 minutes. And then when we came out, even with nobody there, everybody who was there got in line for that ride. So it was like a 90-minute wait as soon as we finished it.
Well, now I'm angry because of that. I didn't get to go on some rides because of the wait time. Like, I could only go on one. It was just ridiculous.
Oh, man. I didn't get to do Rise of the Resistance because it was down for maintenance, which is a real bummer.
It sounds like Disney World is just like a never-ending wait for a new Tool album.
Kinda, but it's like it is amazing though, like the whole Avatar area. And I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to say, like, Avatar the movie was okay for me. It was visually very awesome, but whatever. But
it came
like,
out
oh
like
my 20 gosh,
years ago though. So.
It was not 20 years ago. I was in college.
Okay, sorry, 15.
But
years ago.
The whole Pandora section of Disney is amazing. Like, it's so cool. It's crazy cool. And we got to do Flight of Passage twice. And it was really awesome.
We could get a Rangers of the Divide ride at Disney World. That'd be fucking cool.
Yeah, well, Dark Horse needs to be bought out first.
Yeah. We can't let it happen.
I was gonna Dark Horse is going to sell out anytime soon.
No.
We can have a Dark Horse park.
There you go.
We can have Rangers of the Divide and Hellboy side by side.
There you go. They'd have like a He-Man ride there too. They have Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, everybody can just be dressed as Skeletor doing tumbles.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so I want to talk, since we're talking about, like, you know, a ride, right? Because like, how crazy would it be? I guess we should do a spoiler warning, but I'm going to try to avoid spoiling aggressively because of it's still ongoing and issue 4 isn't even out yet.
Right.
But like, the Juggernaut thing is so cool and the Squall Owl is cool. So like, yeah, for Megan and I have been on Flight of Passage. So a 4D ride with those kind of things would freak me out.
Oh, it'd be amazing though. I've never been on it, but I could imagine.
Yeah, that would be crazy. I think the Juggernaut would be just terrifying, honestly.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And yeah. It's crazy because it had like the Juggernaut design had these elements of like sort of Steppenwolf kind of, not the band, and then like some like just it like was like an amalgamation of many like mythological creatures, and it was just super awesome and scary looking.
Yeah.
I always feel things like I was about to say, you know what they're based, like what it is though. I was about to spoil it, but I caught myself because I don't know. I talk too much. I don't know.
Well, are we allowed to talk a little bit about issue 4? Like,
yeah, I mean, I gave it to you guys to read, so I think it'd be fair that we get to talk about it here.
I am a little hesitant to spoil it, but like I think we can keep it pretty general.
Right.
And worst case, we put out a big spoiler warning more so than usual. But
yeah, and really, I have one big question for you, because you know we talk about anime a little bit. Do you watch anime, Megan?
Some select one, like. The popular kind of ones, I think, more so. So, Attack on Titan,
okay.
One, and Erased was a good one as well. And then my yeah, like only a handful of the more popular ones. But yeah.
Well, that's good that you've seen Attack on Titan, because I have a big question for you. And, you know, I'm going to assume it goes back to, you know, you had these concepts in your back pocket for a while. So, but the Juggernaut, you know, I know a lot of people who are listening to this haven't seen it yet, and I'm not going to spoil anything for you, and I'm not going to really give any details, but the Juggernaut looks like something from Attack on Titan, and I love it, because I love Attack on Titan. I think everybody should watch it, even if you don't like anime. I think it would change your mind on anime, because it's just so good. And did you have this concept before that? Because, you know, if you did, you're a genius. And I assume that you did, and I'm going to go ahead and assume that you're a genius. You don't even have to answer the question.
Okay, I won't then. I won't answer the
question. Okay, then you're just a genius.
I'm just a genius?
Keep the mystery.
I'll answer the question. Okay. Yes, okay. Yeah, I have, when I started to collect Funko Pops, right, collected, like, all the Attack on Titan Funko Pops. I have, like the female Titan. I have Levi. I'm so happy to get Levi. He's hard to find now.
Yeah.
And I just, like, am a big fan of the show. Like, I'm a huge fan of the show. And I love, you know, the female Titan, which was a bit, should I say? It inspired me for, like, the Juggernauts a bit. You know, she and then Levi kind of inspired Eric a bit, so yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you. So there's, like, personality-wise?
Personality-wise, yeah.
Because now that you mention it, I do see it with how he interacts with the cadets, because it's either, like, you're going to be good and you're going to make it, or see you. Like, that's his whole personality.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Levi, he cares about his, even though he comes off as cold, he definitely tries to protect everyone.
Absolutely. But
the commander is kind of, Eric is just kind of, like, in the beginning, is kind of a dick, so.
Right, absolutely.
I had a note about just how I definitely get his mentality with those cadets a little. Like, I hate it, like, in a work environment, right? There's so many people that kind of just have that mentality on any given day, and they're just like, I don't really feel like training these people. I don't want to deal with it, and whatever. And then they wonder why nobody ever does any work, because, well, you didn't teach them, you didn't help them. And then there's a difference, though, when you're getting into, like, a wartime situation, or, like, the, you know, as the rubber hits the road or whatever, where there's a time for questions and there's a time to just do it. And also, yeah, you might die. Yeah. You know, that doesn't apply to everyday work, but, you know,
yeah. A lot of, but yeah, I did take a lot of, like, cadets as well. Definitely took that from Attack on Titan, stole that. And I just love the show so much. And it's up there with, like, The Witcher for me. And, like, what else do I love? I don't know. But, like, it's up there with The Witcher. And I just, I don't know. I had to incorporate it into the book. I couldn't.
Even if it's just, like, a little homage to somebody, like, if I were to write something, I would have to throw in something for, like, Berserk, because I love Berserk, another one of, like, it's a Dark Horse manga, which is one of my favorite mangas of all time. I love Berserk. Like, you know, I'd have to incorporate something like that, or, like, a Dragon Ball Z reference. Like, I couldn't write something without having that influence. So I definitely get where you're coming from.
Right. Yeah.
So.
So, Megan, is this, do you, I mean, I assume you have at least a semblance of an ending, but do you have intentions on making this a limited story with an end in sight, or is it going to be ongoing until they tell you to find an ending?
I have an ending kind of planned. I know what I want to do exactly, basically. Okay. I don't really know 100%, you know, the path I'm taking to get there. I have a vague idea, like a rough idea. And then So far, though, it's kind of on go. Like, I don't know how long it'll take to get there. I was thinking 3 arcs, possibly 4. So, yeah, it's kind of ongoing. Like, but with an end in sight.
Yeah.
It's mostly kind of,
I think that's kind of how I think how Robert Kirkman had said he did with a little bit with Walking Dead, right? He had said there was an end, but there was a lot of stuff in the middle that was up in the air, and he was writing, and I might be misrepresenting what he said on that, but I'm pretty sure he said something similar.
Mm-hmm. I can see that, though, with The Walking Dead. It's kind of it went on for a while there.
A while.
So here at the Weekly Pulls, we love our indie comics like Megan's Rangers of the Divide, and we're going to throw on one of our Kickstarter homies right now for a small message for a sweet Kickstarter.
Do you want to explore the multiverse? What if you had your very own device that would allow you to do just that? Where would you go? What would you find? These are the kind of questions that await Fletcher Cross in the hot new comic anthology, Fletcher Cross, The Multiverse Awaits. You can back this awesome book now at bit.ly/FletcherCross. When arrogant engineer Fletcher Cross steals his greatest invention, the Dimensionalizer, things quickly go haywire as Fletcher finds himself lost within the expanse of the multiverse with no way home. Edited by myself, Kyler Merrill, and my friend Derek Crow, with wonderful and exciting stories by 26 different artists and writers, this anthology weaves 18 different tales into a single narrative that sees Fletcher changed by these experiences. Back Fletcher Cross, The Multiverse Awaits on Kickstarter today, and you can get over 120 pages of stunning storytelling and art, as well as other reward tiers for comic lovers and comic creators alike. Back Fletcher Cross, The Multiverse Awaits now on Kickstarter at bit.ly/FletcherCross.
All right, so Tevin and Ricky have been doing a lot of talking, and I want to ask a fucking question now. Well, maybe not even a question, but like I just wanted to say, like, I really love the Squall Owl. That thing was really cool.
Yeah.
And whenever I was reading it, and it's like trying to kill him, like I just got a Bug's Life vibes. I was like, yes, Grasshopper is going to die. Like as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh fuck, like that's the vibe it gave me.
It's a bird.
Yeah, it's a giant bird. I'm like, yes.
I thought that's adorable. To
say that.
Yeah, like it was. I can see the Bug's Life kind of vibe, or like Arthur and the Invisibles, or like Epic, the movie Epic, kind of small people kind of thing. Yeah, like I definitely enjoyed creating this whole Squall Owl. I was just. And I think it's kind of cute, you know?
I think it's adorable.
Yeah, it's super cool. Like, yeah, it's scary because it's trying to kill him, but it's like, let me give you some head pads.
Yeah.
That's those are the ones that get you because you think they're cute and then they murder you.
Yeah, it's like I recently started to watch this show called, like, Kipo and the Wonder and was it the Wonder Beast? And there's, like, a mega bunny in it.
Whoa.
A giant bunny that like
down. Like Big Chungus.
What's that?
Oh, it's the meme of Bugs Bunny, but he's like severely overweight.
Okay. Yeah, like there's mega bunnies, and it's like a recurring creature in the cartoon. It's on Netflix, and it's just so cute, but so big and so mean. yeah, very much like Squall Owl, except it can't fly, which is kind of better for the characters that way, I think.
That Squall Owl tripped me up because it was coming in, and I'm like, they're talking about how it like preys on things, and you know, only when there's weather disturbances or whatever. And then looking at it, I'm like, it doesn't look that big, but it's got to be bigger because it's off in the distance. And then it showed up, I was like, holy crap, that thing's huge.
Yeah.
That's so pretty.
Yeah, it glows kind of.
Yeah, like it's a total like it's angelic looking, and it's like, oh, you're so pretty, let me touch you. Dead. You're dead. Claws in your guts.
It was kind of like an asshole. I feel like when I was drawing it, I was just sitting. Sometimes I like talk to myself while I draw, and that's kind of weird. I know, but like I'll be like, "Oh, I'm such a bitch. Oh, I'm such a bitch." And like, I just feel angry while I'm drawing because of the way that the owl or the other characters are acting. It doesn't just happen with Rangers either. It happens with like everything. I'm like, wow, how could he be like this? How could he do the horrible thing?
But I have to meet people for the first time as you write it. I said you're like a reader for the first time as you write it.
Yeah, kind of.
Hey, that helps.
The thing is
apparently it's good books.
Yeah. Yeah. You're spoiling your own story to yourself.
Yeah. Basically.
What a life you live, Megan.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's a fun process to draw it and kind of, I guess, connect with the characters while I'm drawing it or writing it even. So, yeah.
Keep going, Derek. You're on a roll.
Shit, I'm just out here saying shit. Like, yeah, the Squall Owl is my favorite.
I really enjoyed, even though it's kind of sick, it's kind of like, as you were just, Megan, you were just talking to yourself, as I was reading, and I think it was Brant when he was like, I just feel like I'm going to die. And I was immediately like, yeah, probably. And I'm like talking to myself, like, you're a jerk. Why would you just think that? And then I'm like, well, he seems like one who wants to die or is going to die.
Yeah.
For sure. And what it was, I'm trying to think back. It was Brant, he was in that. He went off in the group and he found that.
The ruins.
From the Giants, right? Yeah, the ruins.
Yeah, the ruins.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get more of that? Or is that just like a little, like, draw your own connections? Or.
That's going to lead somewhere.
All right.
Not necessarily to more ruins per se, but it'll in the second arc, which I have outlined and ready to go and ready to start on. It's definitely gonna be expanded on. I know the main plot revolves around kind of like the characters and their bonds more so. Like the focus of the story is the characters rather than like the villains.
Right. The end of the world situation that they're in.
Yeah. So in that way, I mean, it's kind of like The Walking Dead in that way. It's like where it focuses on the people more so.
Yeah. Than
so, yeah.
The bad stuff is really just kind of an extra thing that happens to be going on, but it's a focus on their lives.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I definitely did put a lot of thought into, you know, that kind of secondary villain kind of story. Because, I mean, I didn't want it to suck, you know, and people pulled out part was weak, but, you know, the other stuff was good, I guess, you know.
So it's basically like we have an episode of Full House. The Rangers are the Tanners and all the enemies are just a bunch of Kimmy Gibblers.
Quite lovable idiots.
Thank you. These things just kind of pop into my head, and then I say them.
we're gonna put that reference right on the fridge.
Don't be a Gibbler, dude. Knock first.
Derek gets a gold star for that one.
Then ruin the Rangers' lives.
Hey, what was Megan? What was the girl who works out? Is it Camille? Is that her name?
Yeah, Camille. Yeah.
Okay. She was like probably my secret favorite. She was, I don't know. I liked her every time they were doing stuff. The other ones were kind of like goofing off and being dopey, especially in like the first two issues. And she was like doing like one arm push-ups and training and doing this other stuff. And they're like, cause there's always that person, right? If you're in a works, depending on what work lines you've all had, there's like that person who's not prepared because they're like, it'll never happen here.
That's me.
Then there's the other person. It's like, it might happen. so I'm going to train all the time. And then, she, I don't know, she just seemed really cool. I liked her vibes.
Yeah. And she's like, I have plans for her.
Nice.
And she's going to be pretty solid throughout her, her story. And,
She reminded me, like, well, I mean, just her with her, like her little homemade protein powder thing, whatever she was
doing.
Like
her, it just looks like a little bit of like mush.
Yeah, she's like, she's all about the gains, bro, and I like it. She was.
Yeah, she's very driven, very on top of things. I think she doesn't really, you know how to react or interact with everyone that great, because all she's focusing on is being like the best soldier possible.
Yeah. She reminded me, just because I'm watching Masters of the Universe Revelation right now, and she reminded me of like Teela and her friend whose name escapes me, where it's just like, it's like they have a lot of potential that they didn't even realize they had. And I might be reading too far into it, but I felt like Camille was like, there's something more coming with her, which now you have kind of said there's more to come with her. And it's like, it seems like she's prepared, but she doesn't know what she's capable of yet.
Right.
So, like, I hate to draw back to the Attack on Titan, but she's kind of like Mikasa, right?
Yeah, actually she's more inspired by Annie. But yeah, like also Mikasa as well. But,
the little red-haired girl?
No, blonde.
I'm kidding. I'm talking about the musical.
I've never watched it. I have no idea what's going on.
I've seen one episode of Attack on Titan, so I'm lacking in there.
Yeah, he's talking about the 80s Disney movie, I think.
First of all, stop it. But you're also not wrong. Tim Curry was in it. He's cool.
He's cool.
I mean, the only TV I get is reruns of The Simpsons, so it's okay. I'm just uncultured. I read more.
I've tried to get Derek into some mangas, but he's not into them.
I try.
I think I own literally one, and I would say it doesn't count. I've been told before that my manga and anime enjoyment is something that actual fans would mock, and they have, to my face.
What do you got? Let me hear it.
The only one I've ever bought that I know of. I have a pile of books, so maybe there's something in there. But I bought, when I was probably 10, I bought a Spider-Man manga that was put out. It was in the comic shop I was going to at the time. My dad took me over there, and I was like, "Ooh, cool!" And it had different art. And then I opened it and like didn't understand how to read it. Because I was 10, I'd only read from the big two, outside of like Ninja Turtles. I really only read Marvel DC because I was 10, and then I opened that up. I'm like, I don't know how to read this. It's just a pretty cover, and I just stuck it in my box, and I've had it for, I don't know, 20 some probably years.
Whoa. Yeah. So you have a whole ass mystery just laying around.
Yeah, I mean, I did read it once. I don't know. Shoot, that was a long time ago. I couldn't grow a mustache yet, I'm sure.
Yeah. The only manga I ever had, like, real quick, story time. My very first free comic book day, I was, like, fucking 11 or 12. And I go to this little kiosk in our small town, and they had a bunch of back issues. And so everything was on sale for $1. So it was like every 5 comics you got an extra free book. And they gave, one of them was this manga, and all it was called was like Mighty Manga Meals. And it was like a, yeah, it like the cover of it was like a, what's it, the menu of a fast food restaurant. And there was like probably 10 or 15 little samples in there. It was like a smorgasbord of manga. So like that made it confusing because I had no idea what the hell I was reading. And he was like, "Yeah, dude, you got to read it backwards." I was like, "Fuck yeah, this is the future." And like, I read it and it's like 2 pages and then it's over. 2 pages and then it's over. And I'm just like, fuck, man. There was one in there. It was called like Sergeant Frog. Is that a thing still? Does anybody know?
don't even know what Sergeant Frog.
Okay, well, there was one in there called Sergeant Frog, and like I just remember him licking a rotisserie chicken. Like that's my extent of manga.
I'm sorry, I just like screamed laughter into the microphone.
Like, yeah, that's my extent of manga knowledge. Like Sergeant Frog licks rotisserie chickens.
I know my one son was weirded out by I think it was Walmart. They were selling little My Hero Academia books. And they're, you know, you read them backwards. And he was like, wait, I don't understand. And I was like, don't worry, it's not for you. So I just, like, put it back. But he was like, why is it backwards? Anyway.
Kevin is stepping out for just a quick minute.
Oh, who cares about that guy?
Yeah, he sucks.
This is, so yeah, Megan, this is the part of the show where we make fun of whoever's not in the room. So now we all get to talk trash about Tevin.
Evan smells so bad.
And then we'll know if he really does a follow-up listen on the podcast, if he doesn't get offended. Anyway, so more about Megan. What were some of the things, obviously we've talked about like individual pieces, like shows and things that have influenced you, but do you have any creative influences that you want to talk about that have kind of brought you to where you are right now?
Yeah, in comics, like people.
I suppose, yeah, we could do that or anything. No limits. Okay.
I think my go-to is always Bengal. He's done work on Death or Glory for Image Comics with Rick Remender, and he's like really good. And I'm always so jealous when I see his art because I have this like, I want to be there someday, you know. I want to be there, but it's like he's always getting better, and even if I'm getting better, I can't reach him because he's always getting better than me, and he's just so good. So he definitely inspires me to, you know, do my best work, and try, I guess, and like, you know, Fiona Staples, Jim Lee also are inspirations. My friends are inspirations, which are Jason Lowe and Para Celine, Junoi Lindsay, Adam Gorham, to name a few. So yeah, I definitely loved all these different styles and all this different art, and even though I do write, I think mostly the art is, you know, a big inspiration for me, since I feel like I'm an artist.
Yeah, artist first.
Real, that's... recognize real, and you got a great list of inspirations there, Megan.
For sure.
Thank you. You said my name like Megan, I was like, okay.
Do you watch Drink and Josh, or did you watch?
That's exactly what I thought of.
Megan. Every time I hear or see the name Megan, I just think of Josh Peck screaming, Megan.
I have not seen it, but I know one of the guys is in like Turner and Hooch on Disney right now.
And that's a show that exists.
Yeah.
I was.
It can't be Drake, though, because he's gonna serve time, isn't he?
No, he's on probation. He totally endangered a minor that he was probably sleeping with, but we won't talk about it.
Jeez.
That's not my problem. I'm a good person.
We're going to move on.
Yeah, yikes. He retweeted me once.
So, Megan, if you had to give, let's just pretend whoever the hell's listening to this podcast right now has never heard of you or Rangers of the Divide, sell it. Give us like a quick pitch. Like, if nobody has ever picked it up and you were like trying to sell it, or you were going to, like, I don't know, be cursed forever. Like, what would be your best pitch to sell this book?
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
It makes diamonds.
I'll try. So, it's a book that follows a group of cadets and their commander as they travel across the wilds in order to face an unknown enemy. So that's kind of like the elevator pitch. It's like the line
That's kind of the...
Yeah.
The unknown enemy comes to me right away. That's
kind of the pitch that I gave Derek.
Yeah.
I would totally buy it.
would you read it? You'd read it?
Just buy it absolutely. Or read it too.
Cool. In my house, there is no buy and lay down. If I buy it, it is read in like 5 minutes, and then it gets put in the box.
I always pull comics out again to look at the art, but because I'm an artist, so I use like sticky notes to like mark the pages that I, you know, want to reference, and there's one book that's just full of sticky notes. No, there's like two books, maybe three. Yeah. I don't know.
What are they?
I think so. One is definitely The Sound of the World by Heart. It's an e-book. I don't know if anyone has read it. It is published by Lionforge. And it's a really gorgeous book, and the story was pretty cute too. No action really, but just a really great rendition of New York in the book. And I think the second one that I bookmarked would probably be a sketchbook by Bengal. So there's, you know, a few things that I wanted to reference. There's like this bus illustration of like characters riding on a bus. I don't know, that was cool, so I bookmarked it. I never referenced it. I just bookmarked it for later, for whenever that is. But
well, yeah, because you're always, you never know when you're gonna need it. You're a Swiss Army knife. You have many uses, Megan.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Does anybody have any more questions for our good friend Megan Wong? Did I say it right? Wong.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Cool. They call me the butcher in these parts.
You have to forgive him. He's from West Virginia.
Don't blame me. Blame the public education.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
No, I don't have any other questions. I really, Megan, I appreciate you sharing the book with us, and Tevin for getting us into it, because it was I definitely had a good time reading it.
Yeah, for sure. This was all Tevin.
Yeah, and I appreciated the. I take that back. I do have a question. Crap. It wasn't part of my original notes. I appreciated that the book had kind of like an early teen probably could start reading it pretty safely without any kind of issues, even in a relatively strict household. They could. It was good for fun for the whole family, but not maybe everybody. But. You mentioned that you've written some graphic, you wrote a graphic novel or for kids, and I was just curious, do you have kids, or is that just a demographic that interests you?
No, I'm 24, so nah.
I had three when I was 24, so.
Oh, well, these days, us 24-year-olds are, like, making life slower, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, very.
Oh, you got plenty of time, girl.
Yeah, but yeah, like I definitely do enjoy writing things for, you know, kids. And actually, Rangers was not meant to be kind of for younger readers. But my editor Judy, she, you know, emailed me one day and was like, "Hey, this comic shop was wondering if they could put it in their you know, younger reader section or youth section." And I was like, I don't know. I took some time to think, because we would have to remove, because there was swearing in it. Right. We would have to remove the F-bombs, as she put it, and, you know, change some of the language, because in the last issue, Bryce has like a fit near the end. I don't know if you guys that had a lot of f-bombs initially, like that was, yeah, and like she said prick at one point too.
It makes sense. Yeah. I mean, for that scene, it's
how a real
person, a lot of real people would have a very similar reaction to what happened in that scene.
Oh, you already know I would.
Yeah.
But I think that's cool that you were able to kind of edit it to make it because I don't think it made it like childish little kid book. I think it made it more like a young adult, or like you said, like a youth teen type book. Like, it's a good PG-13 book that, you know, I feel like that's nice as you can appreciate, especially for us nerdy parents that can enjoy it with our kid.
Yeah, and I thought that was like, you know, giving, I wanted it to like, I wanted everyone to kind of have a good experience with it, or like be able to experience it. So yeah, I definitely kept in mind like the gore of everything and the words too. Yeah.
I think that's huge. We've talked about this on previous episodes that you have, that there's a lack in the market for comics where you have all ages and then you have adults, and there's a lot of not happening in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool.
Thank you.
All your audiences. So, Megan, I do have a question for you, and then we'll close it out here. Are you going to Free Comic Book Day? Are you going to go out to LCS? Are you going to enjoy the comics day?
That's today. Yeah. Well, I'm here with you guys, so I can't.
Oh, wow.
Now I feel guilty.
Yeah,
I'm joking. I'm joking. I actually signed up for an outdoor kind of 2-day thing for my local comic shop, and where I'd be like tabling and, you know, saying hi to people, saying hi to my friends I haven't seen in a long time. Except,
are you gonna be signing books?
Hmm?
Are you gonna be signing books?
Yeah.
Too bad you're in Canada. I'd get you to sign some books.
I mean, even if I was in the States, like, what if I was like in a faraway state? You know, like,
that's true. Yeah. There's a lot of states.
There's a lot of states. I think there's 50. 49? 50?
50,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I know. But yeah, like, I'm supposed to be there today, except I told the organizer that I had to do this instead. No, I'm kidding. I was supposed to be there though. Except it didn't work out for other non-podcast reasons. I figured I'll do this today, which is, you know, funner.
Yeah, I'll just say, thank you.
I'll say. Don't tell them.
This is going on the internet.
I don't care. I feel special.
Raw and unedited.
Yeah, but tomorrow I'll be like telling them, oh, I was on a podcast and, you know, it wasn't that good. I would have
don't listen.
There was this one guy who's a freaking idiot.
Just yeah. One.
So I won't be
going accurate today,
but I will be there for their, you know, their second day tomorrow, which I think is just store specific. So yeah.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining with us. We're glad to have you. And choosing us, you know, over a comic event, you know, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
And definitely, you know, if you haven't picked this up yet, we have issue 4 coming out next week, correct? Or this upcoming week of Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there and pick this book up. You will not regret it, I'm telling you. It's a fantastic story. The color pops. It reads fantastic. Can't give them the best.
The Weekly Pull stamp of approval.